Blog Talk Radio.
To unmute myself, but nevertheless, I am so happy that I am here on tonight, a wonderful, wonderful Monday, one we've never seen and one we'll never see again. And I'm happy, most importantly, because you are here with me. And then, of course, I'm happy because I'm here too, nevertheless. We'll get into that a little later. But praise God. Thank you for dialing in. This is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And like I said, I'm very excited that you decided to tune in on this wonderful Monday, because I have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful message for you on tonight, and looking forward to sharing what God has laid on my heart to share with each of you on tonight. And I see that my friend Keith Miller and his mother Cora is on, and so shout out to you. So again, if this is your very first time tuning in, I have to apologize, because last week they were first time tuning in. We had a lot of technical difficulties, but praise God, he knows how to fix the airways and make things right. And so whatever was needed to be said last week was for the people last week, and then tonight he has a special word for each of you. So thank you for tuning in. We're on every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And for those of you on Central Time, that's 8 o'clock. And for the rest of the world, amen, you know how to adjust your time. So we thank you for tuning in. We pray that you will be encouraged. May not be something brand new that we talk about, but it will give you an encouragement. And then we'll talk about something that may not be, again, something that you don't know totally about, but we're hoping that you'll be educated to a point that you'll learn something and then study a little bit more so that you will be empowered to make the necessary changes that God lays on your heart to change, and then, praise God, be able to share and empower someone else. So we want you to be encouraged, to be educated, and empowered all to the glory of God. So thank you for tuning in. For those of you, praise God, can you believe it? In 2 months, I'll be able to say 10 years we've been in this vein. And you've been here with me, whether you've been with me for 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 years, 10 years, I'm just grateful, because you keep me encouraged, you keep me empowered, and you keep me pushing to find different topics to talk about, to empower and encourage, not necessarily all of us, because we're all believers, because some of us that tune in are not believers, and they're learning, and they're trying to find their way. And so I thank you for empowering me and encouraging me and praying for me that I can make a lesson basic enough for anyone to understand, so that God can do his part, because all I can do is my part. And so I'm grateful that you keep me encouraged to do that. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I would not and cannot ever forget Jesse and Tammy Still, because without them and their support, I wouldn't have known that this was an opportunity for me, and so I will always be indebted to them and call them out by name, because I am grateful, super grateful, not only because they provided an opportunity, but because they continue to be a light, because they continue to be an example, because they continue to stretch and do what is necessary to make sure that all of us have a glimmer of light of what it means to stay true to your assignment and continue to walk in it. Because, y'all, it gets hard on this road. But nevertheless, it's important when we have examples that continue to reach for the light. And so I'm grateful for those two. Now, the greatest praise we have to give, that is to God. And so we always start the broadcast out with acknowledging when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And then we acknowledge each of you for tuning in, and then we go to God in prayer before we go to our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us your precious, precious, precious gift of life. We thank you, Father, that sometimes we take that for granted. But we thank you, Father, that you have given us the opportunity to pause for just a moment to say thank you. To thank you for allowing us to have use of our limbs and being in our right minds, to be able to do the things that you've called us to do, and some of the things that we think that we're really bad to do, and then the things, Father, that we need your help to do. But nevertheless, Father, we want to make sure that we give you all the honor and all the praise, so we pause in this moment to say thank you. We thank you, Father, for allowing our minds and our hearts to be open to receive what you have for us to learn on tonight, and that you remove all of me so that I can teach what you'd have me to teach, so that the people that are listening, whether they're listening tonight or they're listening weeks from now, months from now, from a recorded broadcast, that they can get the same revelation, that they can get the same ring of words, so their lives can be better and be changed for the better. Father, we love you, we honor you, we adore you, and we always, always, always acknowledge that you are divine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit that will remain, because without you, we can do absolutely positively nothing. So again, Father, bless each listener and bless us all. And we thank you, Father, for fixing technical difficulties when they happen, and that you will remove all distractions so that we can get this word. We love you, we honor, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so last week we had a really, really, really cool lesson. At least that's the lesson that I believe that God had intended on my heart to teach, and it was inappropriate responses. And so I was saying how a girlfriend of mine, that's how she talks to her children. When they say something that's not right, she always corrects them. That's not an appropriate response. And they learn how to adjust and make it right and say the appropriate response. And so I was thinking, you know, what if God was to have an audible voice every time we say something that's inappropriate, and every time we say or do something inappropriate, would we respond like her sons do and immediately try to find the correct response? And so I remember I mentioned that to my daughter. She said, oh, Mommy, she said, if a voice just came out of the sky, I wouldn't say that or don't say that again. I don't know what I would do. I probably would hide. Well, that's the coolest thing about God is that he doesn't condemn us. He convicts us, but he doesn't condemn us. And so he'll give us options, even sometimes when we don't have the appropriate response. And he will give us and show us. And sometimes he does that through his word, and sometimes he does that through other people. Sometimes for me, I see it on TV, I hear it on the radio. Sometimes I can look in the sky and the birds and just different things. I love trees and I love mountains and I love the night sky. And sometimes I hear the voice of God minister to me. Praise God, it's not an album, but I have to tell you this little story. I remember, and some of you may have heard it before, but I remember I was outside. It was night. It was beautiful, and I loved the moon. And I loved the stars, and it was beautiful, and I was out, and the lights were off, and so I was on my patio and just praising God and walking and just reminiscing and feeling the breeze, and I was like, Lord, I just want to feel your presence. I just want to feel you, and my daughter turned the light on, and my eyes were closed, but that beam of light from that light, when she turned it, scared me. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm good. I believe you. I believe you're there. Amen. So we ask God to feel his presence sometimes. Amen. We ain't prepared for it because, amen, he's so awesome and so vast that it's overwhelming sometimes, but it is an awesome, awesome, awesome place to be, to be in his presence. So nevertheless, to be in his presence, and how do we do that? We do that by making sure that we're in the right posture. And so last week when we were talking about inappropriate responses, inappropriate actions and things that we do, sometimes we need a nudge when we're forced to make a decision, whether we're going to make the wrong decision, whether we're going to make the right decision, whether we're making a decision in our own mind or in our own heart. And that's why I love the word of God, because it gives us direction. It gives us clarity sometimes when we just don't know what to do. And so I know not all of us are, I don't want to call us Bible readers, but that's what some people say. But those of us that really, truly believe in the word and really read the word, we have a better understanding. And so even a girlfriend of mine was talking like, what do people do when they really just don't know what to do? If they didn't know how to go to God, if they didn't know how to go to the word, how confusing and how much confusion it must be in their lives to not have some sense of understanding. And even my brother, Keith, we talked last week and we were talking about even in the midst of us doing things wrong, even when we know that we're doing wrong, sometimes we still have to call on him because there's no other name to call. And so it is a blessing to be able to know that. And so when you know that, the coolest thing is to do better. And so sometimes that's what helps us when we have the unction of the Holy Spirit, why it's important for us to be in his presence, for us to have those nudges so that we can make the right and the appropriate response. And so last week, I love when God gives me a topic to talk about, that he also gives me a solution or gives me steps to help all of us figure out what we must do when we are faced with situations and we don't necessarily know. And so in order to be in his presence, in order to know how to make an appropriate response when he is giving us the answer, we have to train our ears to hear. And so when we don't train our ears to hear, then it's difficult for us to actually know, is this God talking? Is this me talking? Is this somebody else talking? Is this the world talking? Is this TV? Is it social media? All these voices we hear and all these voices we have surrounding us, sometimes it's hard to make decisions. I was telling a friend of mine that I have an opportunity to take a class. Now, many of you know that I'm writing a book about the devil. And so I was scared of the devil for a long time. And sometimes the enemy tries to, you know, make me still think that I'm scared. But nevertheless, I know who I am, whose I am, and that I'm protected and I'm covered in the blood. But many times he tries to, you know, kind of do some wolf tickets. And so last week I was in Minnesota, and my friend gave me this really, really awesome hotel where I was able to see the skyline that I loved. I loved the Minneapolis skyline. And so I thought, I'm going to turn off everything and just see the lights and go to sleep. And not, you know, I always keep a nightlight on. But nevertheless, I had all the lights on the skyline in my room. But I went to sleep, and I woke up, I saw this figure in the mirror. And I thought, oh, okay, man, that's not right. So I closed my eyes and opened my eyes again, it's still there. And so I took the opportunity to actually focus on what I was looking at, because I didn't want to be bound by fear, because God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Now, all that, you know, I know by heart, but amen, my heart feels something because I felt amen. So when I turned the light on, I realized it was the reflection from a picture on the other side of the wall. So when I looked at the picture on the other side of the wall, it still kind of looked like what I thought I saw in my, I don't know if it was a vision, dream, whatever, it still looked like it. So then sister girl had to turn the light on. So I turned the light on, and I thought, okay, well, these are two buildings, but one was leaning into one, and the smaller one was leaning more so into the bigger one, and the bigger one seemed as if it was holding up or supporting the smaller building. So I thought, okay, wait a minute, it's just a building. Turn the light off, look back, and it looks like the same image I saw in my dreams. So I'm like, okay, Lord, what meanest thou this? What am I supposed to capture from this? Because it is very, very real for me. And so it was in the face of the enemy. Because like I said, I saw myself as the little building and the bigger building, because it was bigger and monstrous. But the way that the top of this building, it had like a little crown on the top of the building. And for me, that represents, because I talk a lot about spiritual armor and why it's important for us to wear our armor. But nevertheless, I had the armor on. And so the message that I believe God gave to me was that even in the face of the enemy, you still have to do what I told you to do. And so I thought, okay, Lord, so you gave me the answer that I was telling my girlfriend. I don't know if I should take this class or not. And so I had my answer, but I found all these reasons to not do it because realistically, I was still kind of afraid. And so I have to deal with it. And so how do I deal with that? I have to get into the presence of God. And so if we're not in the presence of God, the enemy knows how to challenge us and make us believe that there's something that's there that's not there, or make us believe that we can't accomplish something when we can, or make us believe that we're not trained enough or we're not good enough. He's always going to do something to cause us to be two steps behind where we're supposed to be. So we have to learn how to get out of that environment, and you do that by being in the presence of God. And so last week, I shared there's a couple things that we need to do. And so tonight I want to focus on those three things. But before we do that, I want to make sure that you have the spirit, and if you keep this scripture, I'm sorry, in your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's Proverbs 3:5-6. I cannot tell you how awesome it is for me to understand that particular passage of scripture. Out of all the scriptures in the Bible, I think I hang on that one. Now, my favorite is John 15:5. But I love this one because if you can trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean to your own understandings and know that he's going to direct your path, you got to submit to him. You know that he's gonna work things out for you. So whether you understand how to get in his presence or not, you got to trust in the Lord, and you got to do it with your whole heart. And then you can't allow the ways of the world or your own understanding to cause you to be derailed or to be distracted. And so if you can always remember that, if you don't remember anything else in the lesson tonight, remember that. But that is very important for us to learn, why it's important for us to learn these three steps that we're going to focus on tonight. And so I call them the three F's. It's focus, fruit, and fact. And we kind of brushed on it last week, but we didn't have a lot of time because of the technical difficulties. But I want to make sure that we understand why it's important for us to focus. The focus basically is, if you define it, it's purposefully fading out everything that pulls us away from connecting with God. with that higher power that's going to give us the clear direction on what we do. And remember, if we trust in him in all our ways, he's going to show us what we need to do and what how we need to do it, who we need to connect with, all those things. But we've got to make sure that we're purposely fading out anything that could distract us. Like I said, I had to turn the lights on. I had to get quiet because I wanted to know what that meant. Why did that picture bother me so? And so when he showed me, I had to be in his presence in order to hear that so that I wouldn't be distracted. And then when we understand, when we're focused, praise God, then we can understand the fruit. And then we'll talk a little bit about the fruit. And then most importantly, we need to know the facts. And the facts is, of course, the truth. And the truth is the word of God. But if I should focus a little bit more on why it is important for us to be in God's presence, if you just define the word presence, presence is a state or a fact of existing, being in the presence of a place or a thing. And so one of the coolest things that I like to read and I like to study, and so when I was talking to someone about being in people's presence and how cool it is and a couple of weeks ago, we happened to be in, I watched the reruns because it's not on anymore, but I love law shows. And so we were in the presence of Steve Harris. And so his daughter plays volleyball too. And so we were all moved because he was there. And then we saw a couple of other people that were pretty prominent in the community. There was one of the announcers from the Olympics, so he does a lot of the volleyball commentary. He was there and his daughter was playing. And so, you know, people get giddy and whatever. So when you're in the presence of people, they kind of command a room. And so I was thinking, you know, if Whitney Houston was in the room, and I'm just saying these names, these people may not move you, but nevertheless, Whitney, but Michael Jackson for me, Oprah, not necessarily, but, you know, she would command the room. And then for some, you know, I have to make sure that I make it balanced. For some, Donald Trump would move people. But nevertheless, when they come into a room, the aura of the room changes. They command attention. They, for many, you know, they want their autograph. They want them to look at them. They want them to acknowledge them. And so basically we're feeling the magnetic part of their energy. And a lot of people use the word energy. I can feel their energy. So that's a presence. So now imagine you multiply that times ten thousands of thousands of thousands, being in the presence of God. When we're in the presence of God, not necessarily we want his autograph, although I would love for him to stay in my heart, amen. But we want to be in his presence because when we're in his presence, things change. And so I love the fact that when it says that God is omnipresent, that means that he's everywhere at every time. I mean, at any time, really, he's everywhere. And I like that one of the things that I studied, it said that he is his presence based on Psalms 8 and 1. It says, our Lord, how excellent is his name in all the earth. He sets his glory in the heavens. So he feels his presence in the heavens and in the earth. So not only is he everywhere, he's in the heavens, he's everywhere. And then I like the fact that he took himself, and I use this word loosely, but he dumbed himself down to take residence in us. Can you imagine how vastly he can have the world in his palm of his hand, but at the same time he can reside in us? And so Romans 8:9, I love, it says, however, we are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, they don't belong to him. And so it's so important for us to connect with God, because when we connect with him, then he does reside in us, a part of God, the vast God, that presence is in us. And so if he lives in us, then it's easier for us to hear him. And so when we're in his presence, it's not necessarily if he's everywhere, how can we be in his presence? If he's everywhere, we're already in his presence. We want to feel his presence. You can be in a room like, what was it, yesterday I visited Tabernacle of Praise for worship service yesterday. And Erica Campbell from Mary Mary, she was there because her daughter is going to Spelman. So she was in the room, but I didn't feel her presence. Now, if I was up close to her and she sang one of my favorite songs, and amen, I could feel her energy and all that kind of stuff, but she was in the room, but I didn't feel her presence. So she's there. I want to be in God's presence. Knowing he's all around, I want to feel him too. And so that's what we're talking about. We want to make sure that we feel God's presence. Because when you feel God's presence, there's a connection. Remember I talked about that energy. You want to feel the power, the energy of God, because that moves and that changes things. He can show up however he wants to and whenever he wants to and show his, the evidence that he's there. For those of you that know about the Bible, you remember the burning bush when he showed up for Moses. Amen. Moses needed a sign. That was the sign. God does the same thing. He gives us signs. He does that today. For me, it was that crazy clogged artery in my brain. I mean, he's done so much for me to make me understand who he is and that his presence is surrounding my life. For that clogged artery to be 100% clogged in my brain, and anybody, even me, my naked eye, I could see the clogs on the artery when my doctor showed it to me, that God, instead of me having a stroke and being paralyzed on my whole left side, he rerouted the blood to go around the clot to find the artery on the other side of the clot. That's not even humanly possible. But for whatever reason, God saw fit that it wasn't time for me to be paralyzed on the right side or the left side. And it wasn't fit for me to leave because they said I could have even died because it was a massive stroke. And I never felt it. That's his presence, because he makes his presence known. So I know and I can say with certainty that God did that for me. And I'm sure that all of us can look into our lives and know that there were so many opportunities that the enemy could have taken us out. But because of the presence of God was on our lives, he either communicated, move left, move right, be quiet, sit down, don't go nowhere, whatever it was, we were in the presence and we heard his voice and we acknowledged it. Whether we were obedient to it and really understood what we were doing, but he made a way to make sure that you still are able to do whatever it is designed to do. And that's why it's important for you to be in his presence, to know him, to be focused, to know I need to find how to get into the presence of God, to be focused. The next F is another way that we can make sure that we stay in his presence is by the fruit. Now, again, last week I said that when we think of fruit, we think of something that's edible, something sweet that's produced from a seed, from a plant. And so when we talk about we can recognize people by their fruit, that's kind of what we're talking about. But we want to know, do we have the fruit of the Spirit that makes us more like Christ? I like James 1:17. It says, every good and perfect gift comes from God, coming down from the Father, from the heavenly light, who does not change like the drifting shadow. So how do we know that we have that perfect gift of God? How do we operate in the light? Remember I said in the prayer that we want to be light. Like I said, you know, my Jesse and my Tammy store are perfect lights for me because they continue to be the light to help me stay focused on the assignment that God has for me. So we want to make sure that we're growing. And so in order for us to grow, Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy comes from God. And through the works of the Holy Spirit, every believer is to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, giving us God's joy. So if I'm operating in his presence because I'm focused, then my fruit, the seed, everything that I do will produce good fruit. And what are those fruits? Those fruits are found in Galatians 5:22-23. And I love it. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against them there is no law. So if we break those down, I love that love represents, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What do we believe in that? Many of us believe Jesus, God had a baby Jesus. No. Jesus and God is the same. He had to become flesh. He is God. So he's present. He came to be with us. That is God. And so he lowered himself to become flesh, to be with us, to walk among us, so that we can be completely in his presence, surrounded in his presence. And that was the love that he did for us. And then joy. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. There's that word again, trust. We have to love. We have to operate in joy to have the trust. And then peace, Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We are sometimes the light of God, too, because his presence is in us. People can see it, so now people can focus. When we minister to other people, when we help other people, sometimes that's the only God people see because of the light that we have inside of us. And so if we're not focused to hear the voice of God, to walk in his presence, how will we ever be able to have our fruit grow to be produce the peace and the love and joy that God requires for us to share with other people? And to do that, it requires patience. And I love Ephesians 4:2. It says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Sometimes it's hard to deal with people. Amen. But if we have the presence of God and we're operating in the fruit of the Spirit, then we will acknowledge patience, his type of patience. And sometimes you got to call on God, because remember we said, lean not to your own understanding. Because sometimes we lean to our own understanding, and sometimes our patience gets short with people. Amen. Because I know I have a 14-year-old, when she's about to be 14. And Lord, amen, I have to draw on God's patience, amen, to sometimes not go there. But amen. But because I try to walk in the things of God and I try to hear from him, I don't go off like I used to. Amen. And I probably could use the rod of correction a little bit more than I do. But because I have so much patience now, and kindness is another fruit. Joel 2:13, return to the Lord your God, and for his gracious and compassion, be slow to anger and abound in love, and he will be relentless from sending calamity. Amen. And I'll just say goodness. And then, of course, last but not least, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I guess I do have a little time to go into that. So goodness, we know goodness is Psalms 23:6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then faithfulness, but the Lord is faithful and just, and he will strengthen and protect us from the evil one. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Gentleness, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly love, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then, of course, last but not least, but the strongest of the ones, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, but rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves, who is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Titus 1:8. Now, I kind of broke those up and explained what the fruit of the Spirit is separately. But for those of you that don't know, that's not separate fruit. We're supposed to operate in all of those 9 characteristics at the same time. How do you do that? You can only do that if you're in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit dwells in you to do that. Some people try to break those up. I'm gonna work on love, and I'm gonna work on peace, and I'm work on self-control. That's not what this means. This is a fruit, not fruit, but S. It's the fruit. We're supposed to operate in all of them at the same time because they're characteristics of the same fruit. Oh, you got the peel. You got the meat, and you got the seed, and you got the core. Still an apple. All of it is one fruit. All of that is one. And so we need to operate. So how do you do that? You have to be in the presence of God to be able to do that. So how do you got to focus. And you got to focus on how you're carrying yourself, how you're walking, how you're living, how you're acting. And then last but not least, one that I really want to stress is the fact. What is a fact? A fact is the thing that known and proven to be true. What is that? The word of God. Those of you that know me know I'm a teacher at heart. And I don't care what anybody says. I can go to the ends of the earth with people with a man put that together. Yeah, he did. But if we just said that God is everywhere, he's in the heavens and he's in the earth and he's everywhere. If he didn't want something in this book, do you think that he would have just made it disappear? He can. He can burn a bush. If he can bring a dirty bird raven, if he can raise people from the dead, if he can break the chains off of people and make them go free from prison. I mean, we have way too many examples of the things that God has done in the book. And then we have our own experiences that he removed the tumors behind my eyes, that he healed me from cancer without having to have chemo or radiation, that he allowed a tumor or a clogged artery to be unclogged, or not be unclogged, but just to be rebound. I know God did all that. So do I really believe he can't change stuff written in the book that wasn't supposed to be there, or stuff that was supposed to be there, not there? I laugh when people say this stuff, because at the end of the day, this is still the living word that moves for everyone, not just different types of people or different shades of people or different cultures of people. Everyone can benefit from reading the word of God. This is our truth. And so the one thing that I did learn yesterday that was really kind of a revelation that I really wanted to stress and focus the last few minutes that we have is the facts. So we have the three. We have the focus that we have to be in his presence. We have the fruit. We have to be Christ-like, and we have to put on, show that we have Christ living in us. And then we have to operate in his truth. That's his word. So how do you do that? And I love this. Oh, I love it, love it, love it. Now, I've heard the scripture so many times, but I didn't really pay attention to it like I did yesterday. It's Romans 10 and 17. So like I said, if you don't remember anything that I said today, remember Proverbs, and I'm going to say the scripture again because my sister always gets it. You say these scriptures so fast, but I'm going to say them again before I close. But the ones to remember today is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in him in all your ways, in all your heart, and lean not to your understanding. And then Romans 10, 17. So that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to say that again. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So how do you believe in all this stuff? How do you believe that God has his presence? You have to have faith to believe it. How do you believe that the word is true? You have to have faith to believe it. How do you know that I understand what he's telling me to do? You have to have faith in order to do it. So how do you develop your faith? You have to develop your faith by the word of God. Developing your faith doesn't come by going to church. Developing your faith doesn't come by shouting, falling out, paying tithes and offering, whatever it is, these things, these principles that we put together. The only way our faith is developed is by the word of God and hearing the word of God. Now, I said church, and I didn't mean church because that's where you go to hear the word, many people. I meant the process of church. I got to usher. I got to, go to hear the praise and worship. The only way that you can develop your faith is by hearing the word of God. And so it's such a blessing to live in this era that we live in, because there's so many ways we can get it. We don't necessarily have to be sitting inside of the pews of a church. We can go on the internet. We can turn on the TV. We can do it on our phones. You just got to hear the word of God. And what better way of hearing the word of God is reading it yourself and reading it out loud and getting it in your hearing, getting it in your knowing. And the more you hear it, the more you believe it, the more it becomes real, the more the presence of God becomes real, the more you operate in the right fruit. Do you see how this all comes together? This is how you can have cancer and not be shook. I wasn't shook because I knew if God allowed me to have it, he was going to figure it out, because I know I hadn't finished my assignment. And that's why, again, it goes back to the mindset that I talked about last week, too. You got to know who you are in God. You got to know that. And when you know who you are in God, then you operate different. You don't need people to tell you who you are. You don't need. Now, it was good last week, y'all. They told me that, all these guys, like how much, they liked me. And it felt good that I didn't even know that many people, liked the little sister, because, for a long time I was feeling a little alone, feeling a little lost. But I knew how I was in God, so it didn't matter. So, it felt good, but I wasn't shook, because I know who I am in God. I am a king's daughter, and I operate that way. And so nobody can tell me who I am outside of who God tells me who I am. And so there was a long time I listened to so many other elements. I was too short. I was too fat. I was too this. I was too that. I didn't have this. what God says you are, that's who you are, and that's enough. We are made in his image, and he said that we can do all things. And that's why being in his word is so important. And so when the enemy throws evil things and wicked things at you, you go to the word because you know it's the truth. And you know that Jesus was clothed in the truth. And so all you do is you find your scriptures. Lee, you can't do that. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's Philippians 4:13. You know, Leah, I don't know that that's possible. You know, those aneurysms that you have in your head, you know, they can't be repaired. No. My God said that he can confound the wise. And so I believe, and I'm going to stand on 1 Corinthians 1:27. God is going to confound the wise. And he did. He allowed, I mean, I don't know if y'all understand, that veins don't clog and then reopen. But mine did. So I know that was God because he confounded the wise to do that, because that has been my statement. Lord, you do what you do. You confound the wise. And that has been since I had the tumors behind my eyes, when my eye was literally sitting on my cheek. Tumors had pushed my eye out of the socket, and it was sitting on my cheek, literally sitting on my cheek. And they said it was not humanly possible for my eye to go back into the socket because I couldn't exercise to get the muscles to go back. They couldn't cut the muscle because it's too small. But nevertheless, God healed my eye and allowed my eye to go back into the socket. And most people think something's wrong with the other eye instead of the eye that was actually had the tumor. So that was my confession. Lord, you confound the wise. And he did. And so when people say that you're not strong enough, or the Bible says that I can be strong and be of good courage, you got to find a word of promise. Those are facts that God has given all of us. You got to find them and stand on them. You're not pretty enough. Whatever it is, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am made in the image of God. You got to find a fact and allow the enemy to be put back into his place, because he has no power. And I love my favorite, that Luke 10:19, that all authority was given to me, that I could trample on scorpions and serpents and not be harmed, and any evil thing that the enemy tries to throw at me. Are you kidding me? And so a couple of people were like, are you a minister? And some of you know that I tell people I'm not. I used to be a pastor, but now I'm a pimp. And for those of you that I use pimp as an acronym for preaching in my purpose, but I don't like telling people that I'm a minister up front, because I don't want people to think of the judgment. I want them to think of me as just a regular person, because I want them to feel comfortable. And then because of my fruit, they will know that I stand a little taller than most. And I stand a little taller than most because I try to stay in the presence of God, and so God can be seen through me. I don't have to tell people a title. I'm not caught up on that anymore, because I know who I am. I am a king's kid. And when you know you are a king's kid because you walk in his presence, you are operating in the fruit of the spirit that he placed in you, and you know what the word of God says to you, and I strengthen my faith. And in the times when I get weak, and Lord, there are many times that I get weak, because I'm in his presence and because he knows me and because I know him, he knows sometimes I need Jesus. I need some Jesus with skin on him, Lord. I need you to be a person, and I want to hear your audible voice. And so he'll send somebody, and he sends me wonderful people that encourage me and sends me back to the word and says, Lee, what promises are you standing on? Which one of them, because we talked about the heart a couple weeks ago, and my girlfriend from, she's from Washington, but she's been in California. And I said, Lee, which one of them heartbeats are you working on? And she had to make me go back, and I'm like, oh, wow, okay, amen, thank you. Those are the kind of people that we need to surround ourselves around to make sure that we stay in these 5 F's, that we stay focused, that we operate in the right fruit, and that we're operating with the right facts. And so how do we do that? We got to make sure that we're staying in his presence. And so I'm going to say these scriptures, so I'm going to try to say them slow so y'all will get them. Amen. The first one was Proverbs 3:5-6. You have to trust in the Lord with all your heart. You can't lean to your own understanding, because people will have you shook They will have you shook. They'll make you believe that you're Superman. And as my girlfriend tells me often, she said, Leah, that is a fictional character. You are not Superwoman. Stop trying to wear that S on your shirt. That was for TV only. That is not a real person. We can operate in the supernatural power of Jesus, but that's about the only S we need to be trying to operate in. But if we trust in the Lord, he will lead us and he will make our path straight. Amen. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Amen. And then we focus on the focus. And the focus that we focused with the scripture was, I gave a couple of them, Psalms 8 and 1, that we know that his name is exalted in the heavens and in the earth. And then we want to make sure that we remember Psalms 8 and 1. We want to remember that his presence is in each one of us. That's Romans 8 and 9, and that, you know, we're part of the realm of the flesh, but we are operating in the realm of the spirit. And so if God lives in us, we have his spirit. And if we don't know him, you need to get to know him so that you can operate in his spirit. Amen. And in the same way, that spirit helps our weaknesses. And so even when we don't know what to pray for, the spirit will speak. Y'all going to have me running in here. But nevertheless, we got to know that he is everywhere and he is in everything. And so Psalms 8 and 1, Romans 8 and 9. And then we went to the fruit. We want to make sure Galatians 22:23. And we talked about love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all listed in those scriptures. But we got to remember it's one fruit. It's not fruits. It's one fruit. And we can operate in all of those characteristics if we operate in the presence of God. Amen. And then last but not least, by all means, we have to develop our faith. And you develop your faith by hearing the word of God. That's Romans 10, 17. And so you got to make sure that you get into his word. And then some of the promises that I gave, if you go to Google and just look them up, whatever it is that you're going through. And so one of my always favorite go-tos is I can all do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. That's Philippians 4:13 that I see it. And then praise God, when you're going through different challenges where you need supernatural healing or supernatural deliverance or whatever it is that you need to confound the wise. When people say that this can't be done, I gave 1 Corinthians 1:27, that's confound the wise. And there's just so many of them. And I also said Joshua 1, 13, be strong and be of good courage. But I mean, like I said, there's so many. I even said when I was, for those of us that sometimes are afraid and we're fearful and we just don't know how to address certain things. And we have to remember that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. And so that is 2 Timothy. I should know that by heart. I'll find it in just a second. But the one that I wanted to also share is 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Study to be quiet. I think sometimes we forget that when we don't study, that's when we fall into the temptations of the enemy in this world system, because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And when he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he will tell you anything, and he'll make you believe anything. And that's why it's so important for us to study the word. And again, we live in this system where you can just go to Google, use your phone. Find the scriptures that you need so that you can use the promises of God, because he doesn't lie. He doesn't go back on his word, and he's not going to allow his word to come back to him void. And so you got to believe and you got to trust it. Now, the spirit of fear scripture was 2 Timothy 1:7. And so he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so many of us that know the love of God, because we've given our lives to him, it's easy for us to just acknowledge some of this stuff. But those of us that haven't given our lives to Christ, it's time that you do. And it's not, I think about the movie Friday when the ladies, are you prepared for Jehovah's return? Many times we think that, you know, giving our life to Christ has to be, you know, that whole, you know, bow tie, you know, going to church Sunday after Sunday. Now, that's necessary because you want to be built up and you want to learn, you want to be trained. But it's a lifestyle. God just wants to be your friend, and he wants to communicate with you, and he wants to help you, and he wants to show you that he has purpose and that he has a plan for you. And so all of our plan and our purpose is to witness to other people. And so sometimes that's not necessarily in a building. That could just be in our common everyday life. And so if we allow ourselves to operate in his presence where we're focused and we hear him, our fruit will represent what we're supposed to do because we'll operate in love, we'll operate in patience, we'll operate in kindness, and we'll have self-control, and people will be able to see the light of God in our lives, and then we'll be able to operate in the facts, the truth of God, that he said that he will never leave us nor forsake us, the truth that he will cover us and he will protect us, and that we will not let anything come near our dwelling that will cause hurt, harm, and danger because we're covered in the blood. And even if something does happen, he will not put nothing on you more than what you can bear. How do I know all of that? Because I study and I learn the word and I made it part of me. And because it's part of me, the presence of God is always around me. And do I miss it? Absolutely. And do I get scared? Absolutely. And do I fall short? Absolutely. Even with all the study and even with all the stuff that I do, because I'm human and God knows that too. And that's why he puts people in our lives to build us up and to encourage us. And so, Saints, it's simple and it's easy. We just got to do our part. You got to be focused. You got to do the things that God has called you to do. And you got to be able to be open to hear his voice. Now, one of the things I wanted to stress to give you some homework. And so whatever it is that you're going through, and so for those of you that have paper, write it down. And if those of you that don't, amen, you can go back and listen to the pre-recorded after, you know, we finish about 5 minutes. It loads back up, and all you have to do is do the link of how you found the broadcast, and it'll pull it back up. Or you could go to Blog Talk Radio and then put in Omega Ministries. And it'll show up because it's it'll be the last recording for today. And then you just pull up my name and it'll come up. But I want you to make some word declarations. I want you to find whatever it is you're going through. Find five scriptures that will support whatever it is you're going through. So say it's fear. You know, actually, I'm going back to the doctor because now they think that, you know, some of my vessels are weak, so I got to build myself up. And so, of course, that scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, will be one of my declarations. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but the power of love and a sound discipline mind. And so, if that means I'm gonna add extra words to make it mine, so that it's part of me, I'm gonna make that word declaration. I'm also probably gonna use he is not, will not put no more on me than I can. Bear, and then I will add a little bit more to it. Lord, you didn't bring me this far to leave me, and so you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. So you add on to your declaration. You find the word of God, and then you make it yours. And then my favorite, John 15:5, you are the vine, I'm a branch. As long as you remain in me, I word that for me. Lord, I know you divine, and I'm your branch, and I'm connected to you, and I know that I have the fruit that will remain, and I know that without you, I can absolutely do nothing. And then I skip down to John 15:7, and it says, if I remain in you and your words remain in me, I can ask whatever I wish, and it will be granted. So, Father, because I remain in you, and you know I remain in you, and you know I'm part of your presence, you know I'm one of your kids, and I do what you call me to do, I'm not going to be afraid, because Luke 10:19, you have given me authority to trample on scorpions and serpents. And sure, if I can trample on scorpions and serpents, I can trample on aneurysms, cancer, heart attacks, all the stuff that the enemy tries to throw at me. That none of them words is in the word. None of them words is in the word. And so even if I have to deal with some of those things, I know that it's your plan and your purpose. And you're not going to put nothing on me more than what I can bear. And so I know that there is a ministry within it that I can use it for the betterment of whoever needs to know you and be called to you. And help me to understand it so that I can communicate it so that somebody will get the light, will get be drawn to you from it. And so I know for a fact that the people that used to know me, that saw my eyes sitting on my cheek, and now they know that it's not there anymore, is a witness. And the new people now that know that I had a heart attack 4 weeks ago, that I'm running around, well, not running, but I'm walking faster, amen. But I'm getting around, and I look different. I've lost weight, and I'm doing better. Why? Because I didn't allow those things to control me, because I knew that I had authority over those things, because I was in the presence of God and I studied his word and I know my facts, I know the fruit, and I know that I'm focused because I'm focused on him. And so I applaud all of you that have done what you had to do to get to where you are. And those of you that need to go further, get in the word, get your declaration and write them out. And when you write them out, make sure that when you're in his presence that you have no ought in your heart. That means that you have forgiven the people that you need to forgive, because that will hinder your blessings and hinder your presence, your connection with him, because you have to forgive. And it's so funny how sometimes we hold grudges on people and they dead and gone and we still holding stuff on. This weekend, or last weekend when I was able to go to Minnesota and go to my class reunion, I saw someone that, praise God, I had issues with it. And I didn't realize that I was still harboring. But seeing him, I should have said something, but I didn't. But I didn't have to, because the Holy Spirit had released me and I was done with that. And so sometimes we can hold ourselves up by not being forgiving for folks that don't even know that we have ought against them. And so we need to forgive so that we can go before the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. Well, I pray that you've got something from this lesson, and that I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, and it's become a favorite to some others. And so I try to play as much of it as I can. But I, like I said, I dedicate this to my granny. Every praise belongs to God, because it does. And I know she's listening, and she's my favorite listener. And so praise God. Hi, Granny. I pray you're doing well. But make sure you tune in again next week. We'll have another inspiring word. And again, shout out to Keith Miller and his mom. And Eric, if you're listening, God bless you too. But I wanted to make sure that we all understand why it's so important for us to be in God's presence, to make sure that we're operating in the right fruit, because you could be the only word people see. And people need to know the word, because it's our facts. It is our truth. And so get your faith developed by hearing the word of God. However you can need to get it, put it on your phone, listen on the computer, or on your TV. I mean, there's so many ways we can listen to. We are really in a blessed time. Amen. Or go back and listen to some of my old, amen, but you can. Go back and listen to some of the old recordings. But nevertheless, I'm grateful, grateful, grateful that you tuned in. This is Leah Killings from Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And if you don't remember anything else, remember to start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and then end your day with prayer. God bless you, and have a wonderful evening, and see you on next week. God bless.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
praise is to our God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up. Every praise is to our God.
Every word of worship
is one accord.